was really glad to be able to get a chance to talk to James Bailey. He's with Mercatus Center, George Mason University. And first off, Mr. Bailey, it's good to speak with you, sir. How are you?
Likewise, I'm great.
You know, this is a subject that's kind of clunky, I think, for many people because they're unaware of it. As I often remark that, you know, healthcare is not an impulse buy. It's not a rose next to a cash register at a convenience store. When you need it, you need it. And there's a thing when people at a hospital decide they want to grow or create a new healthcare facility that's called a certificate of need. How do you describe it?
So I would say it's when anytime a hospital wants to open or expand, they need to get permission from state board that's going to say that there's an economic necessity for the services they want to provide. So this is not certifying whether they're going to be a good hospital or whether they're qualified doctors or anything like that, but just whether the state thinks that there's an economic need for a new hospital.
Well, first off, I would think the contentious term there would be economic need, since when is a broken leg an economic issue?
Right. It is a bit odd. I think what happened is that a lot of legislatures back in the 70s and 80s, when these laws passed, were worried that healthcare spending was too high. And that's a worry a lot of people still have today. And so these sorts of sort of crude restraints on who could provide care were supposed to be a solution for this.
And see, it seems like backwards. I mean, if you look at basic supply and demand, and I just brought up the issue of impulse buys. When you need it, you need it. But, you know, when it comes to health care, do you go to the economy to define whether you need health care, or do you go to census studies and look at the age of your community and incidences of cancer before you decide how many beds you can have? But the idea was to control costs. Well, at this point, anecdotally at the very least, I'd say it didn't do its job.
That's right. So I've written a new paper where I look at all the data from every state and compare the states that have these laws to the states that have repealed them. So Illinois is one of 35 states that still does this, but 15 states, including Indiana and Wisconsin, don't. And I found that in the states that have repealed these laws, spending on healthcare has gone down about 3%. And that, you know, the reason is that prices and charges for healthcare are falling when more competition is allowed.
Right. When you've got more people out there, a supply and demand issue, as we talked about earlier. Now, see, in downstate Illinois, we have areas that I consider healthcare drought areas and have gone on for decades. So you have a tendency to see people come to what would be our metros, Carbondale, Marion, Heron, to see healthcare, and Harrisburg to a limited degree, where we have large rural areas. While at the same time, and I remember going through this with the Heron Hospital in particular, where they literally went out and sought assistance from Glenn Pichard, an area congressman, somebody familiar with the political waters, to negotiate whether this certificate of need, while at the same time, I can look at a census report and you can see the line at the ER. I mean, you know the need is there. It seems like an unnecessary step, for one, because as a rule, people don't bill hospitals and beds if they don't think there's customers.
That's right. You know, it turns what you would expect to be a healthcare decision and a business decision into a political decision as well, where it becomes necessary to, as you said, hire people who know the political game, or to make doctors and hospital executives sort of able to navigate the politics or become insiders themselves.
How much does a certificate of need cost a healthcare system?
So the direct cost is that we have state employees or a state board that's having to adjudicate these claims, as well as the hospitals that are spending tens or sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars on these applications. There's the delay as well that, you know, this is pushing back by a few months, any new hospital or any big expansion of a hospital. The total overall cost is that spending is about 6% higher. Healthcare spending is about 6% higher in the states that have these laws compared to the states that don't. And these affect not just hospitals, but also dialysis clinics, nursing homes, and a lot of other types of healthcare.
Oh, so it's not just hospitals, nursing homes too.
Right. you know, for some reason, nursing homes are one thing that states really want to sort of crack down on the building of new ones, even though they almost always didn't have a big wait for people wanting to get in.
Well, here's one thing that I'm confused about, and I'm glad you're here. James Bailey is joining us this morning. He is with the Mercatus Center, which is, by the way, at George Mason University. There was one thing that when I was looking at a release involving this. All right, so a hospital's here. It's been here for a really long time, but we have, as I mentioned to you, drought areas where healthcare is hard to find. I mean, I can literally take you to a hospital where there's 6 beds in southern Illinois. And very often closed. Now, what happens if somebody wants to come into a rural area? Supply people that do not have close available health care, maybe frontline diagnostic services, something like that. But when other hospitals get grandfathered in, I mean, do we put ourselves in a position where people who need health care don't get it because they can't get a certificate of need because other hospitals are bigger and have been there longer?
Yes, I think so. My research doesn't speak directly to that, but other researchers in the field have certainly found that travel times are going to be higher in states that have these laws. That, you know, if it's harder to build a new facility, chances are it's going to be a longer drive to whatever the closest facility is that you'd like to be visiting.
All right. Since these laws were put in place, a lot of them going back to the 70s, and we slowed in the 80s, the thing is, government usually doesn't undo itself. Once something's in place, it's quite the task to get rid of it. You referenced earlier that some 15 states have already gotten rid of these certificate of need laws because they saw what happened in their state.
That's right. So the reason a lot of states passed these in the first place is that the federal government was sort of pushing it on states back in the 1970s. But in the 1980s, the federal government and Medicare actually realized that these laws weren't helping, and they stopped threatening the states that didn't have these laws. And so, as you said, 15 states got the message and repealed their laws, but the other 35 have been slow to do so. There are some ongoing debates in legislatures and other states. And in fact, nowadays, the Department of Justice for the federal government and the Federal Trade Commission, they see these laws as anti-competitive and restraints of trade. And so they really try to convince states to repeal these laws because, if the hospitals were doing something like this on their own, it would be an illegal restraint of trade. But since the states are behind it, the Department of Justice sort of can't force them to stop, but they can just ask politely and say, please don't do this anymore.
Yeah. James Bailey is joining us from the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Now that you've learned, you've done your research on these Certificate of Need hospitals, especially in light of Illinois still having it and downstate health care, any insight with what you think this will impact growing health care in an inherently poverty-ridden area, what the impact would be?
So I think if this law were repealed, you'd simply see probably a 5 to 10 year period where you'd be seeing more new facilities and more expanding facilities. So you'd probably find it a little easier to get to whatever your closest hospital would be. And I hope find that prices would be going down a little bit since you'd have more providers and so providers wouldn't just know that they have a sort of captive audience, a captive market who they can charge high prices to.
It's very often you find that government does something and the second order effect is an exact conflict with the goal of the laws it started. This is not uncommon. But when it comes to people's lives, it is maybe uncommon, but it's most definitely unacceptable. 7:30. Mr. Bailey, really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
James Bailey's with the Mercatus Center, George Mason University, Certificate of Need.